explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time is up. The IRS is in full collection mode for 2024, issuing liens, levies, and garnishments to anyone who has a past tax debt or unfiled tax returns. Don't wait till it's too late. Your paycheck and bank accounts are at risk of being seized. Call now and stop the collection process today. If you're living check to check, no matter how much you're making, you still may qualify for the Fresh Start programs offered by the IRS to reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. It's just a 5-minute call to get your options, and it's free. If you owe back taxes, have years of unfiled tax returns, under audit, have a wage or bank levy, or finally just want to sleep better, business or personal, call the experts at Republic Tax Relief while there's still time. A+ rated by the Better Business Bureau and tough. This veteran-owned company has the fight you need to take on the IRS. Don't go at it alone. The call is free. Call their hotline number now, 800-298-6544. That's 800-298-6544. Find out if you qualify today. Call 800-298-6544 or go to republictaxrelief.com.
Listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. President Trump says after a phone call with Mexico's president, they both agreed to suspend putting tariffs on imports.
They've agreed to put in 10,000 soldiers permanently, like forever, 10,000 soldiers at their side of the border and stop fentanyl and illegal aliens from coming into our country.
For now, the pause on tariffs is for 1 month. No word about progress in the tariffs issue with Canada and China. Investigation continues into Friday's deadly crash of a medical flight that crashed onto a Philadelphia city street. 7 dead. The number of people treated for injuries has increased to 24. Salvage crews have removed a large portion of the commercial jet involved in last week's mid-air crash from the Potomac River in Washington. Congress wants answers on erroneous wireless emergency alerts that went out to millions of Southern Californians who were not in wildfire danger, creating panic. This is ABC News. One of the largest COVID fraud cases in the country is back in court. This time, the alleged ringleader is on trial. Jury selection begins today in Minneapolis.
Amy Bach, founder of Feeding Our Future, facing federal fraud and bribery charges in a $250 million scheme to exploit pandemic food aid. Prosecutors say her nonprofit faked feeding thousands of kids, pocketing government funds. Bach's attorney arguing she was tricked by those around her. Extra security measures are in place after an earlier trial saw a failed attempt to bribe a juror with a bag filled with $120,000 in cash. The trial expected to last 6 weeks. Dave Packer, ABC News.
The case has already seen 30 guilty pleas and 5 bribery charges. A new recall alert about broccoli sold at Walmart. Recall has been raised to the FDA's highest level, meaning there's a risk of death because of possible listeria. The broccoli from Braga Fresh was sold in 20 states. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
This is an ad by BetterHelp Online Therapy. When it comes to relationships, we often hear about the red flags we should avoid, but it's just as important to focus on the green flags. Think about how you want a relationship to feel, one where your boundaries are respected and you're encouraged to be your best self. If you're not sure what that looks like, therapy can help you identify those qualities so you can embody the green flag energy yourself and find it in others. Because whether you're dating, married, or building a friendship, it's time to form relationships that love you back. BetterHelp connects you to a diverse network of over 30,000 therapists worldwide with expertise in a wide range of issues, from depression and anxiety to work and relationships. It's 100% online and sign up only takes a few minutes. Find your green flag energy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ABC Radio today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ABC Radio.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayla. Bracing for tariff impacts in Wisconsin.
James Vanderloo, head at global freight forwarder OEC Group Milwaukee, says businesses importing from Canada, Mexico, and China are unlikely to take on the costs that come with tariffs.
When you're looking at things at 10, 25%, it's really hard for businesses to be able to justify absorbing all of that cost, so typically they'll pass it on to the consumer.
A recent Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce survey found 56% of respondents opposing 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico, and half predicting those would have a negative impact on their businesses. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Dane County will no longer provide the federal government with names of former jail inmates believed to be undocumented immigrants. County Executive Melissa Agard says that followed numerous discussions.
It's important for us as elected officials to hear directly from the people whom we represent. And, you know, the continued participation in a program that does not align with the values of our constituents, of our friends and neighbors, means that we need to sever ties with it.
Sheriff Calvin Barrett announced last week that his office has decided to cease involvement with the state criminal alien assistance program. That's a decision Agard says she supports. Wisconsin Congressman Tom Tiffany is again trying to remove gray wolves from the endangered species list. The 7th District Republican has introduced the Pet and Livestock Protection Act. That's nearly identical to the Trust the Science Act from last session.
And the reason it's so important is we could get it in statute, and it does not allow for judicial review. So some coastal judge who doesn't know much about wildlife can't stop wolf management in the states.
The bipartisan bill passed the House last session, but not the U.S. Senate. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Forecast for today, plenty of clouds. We'll have steady temperatures in the upper 20s, north winds at 5 to 10. Tonight, decreasing clouds, low 1 above. Tomorrow, increasing clouds, highs near 14. At this hour, Highway 85 in Rock Falls is closed in both directions due to an accident. You are advised to follow the detour route that is marked. Again, Highway 85 in Rock Falls is currently closed in both directions due to an accident.
Welcome to February and the start of week 3 of Trump 2.0. Corn, soybean, and wheat futures all opened under pressure, then reversed to trade and close higher. Lean hog futures did not like the potential of disrupted trade, and the cattle complex factored in reports that cattle trade will restart with Mexico.
Live with just a little hot sauce via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Angie Setzer from Consus. Later, Carrie Artak from Artak Advisory and WickedStocks.com. And directly following the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Jack Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Woo! You know, on this cattle trade restarting with Mexico, I just want to throw this out there, too.
All right.
Yes, we got word from USDA that they are working through the protocols on how to make the trade happen. I don't know if they have the facilities in place. I mean, they're going to dip these animals before they come across the border. There's a lot of things that we still need to find out. So, yeah, we've got word that cattle trade is going to restart with Mexico. We just don't know when.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that with Angie coming up here in just a little bit. But we got a lot of ground to cover. Hey, here's the other thing on that cattle, or on those cattle. Are they going to carry a tariff of 25%? We don't know at this point.
Yeah.
Because the decision on that has been put off for at least 30 days. Lots of movement.
Yeah.
And it's the start of week 3 of Trump 2.0. The start.
So they're going to dip these cattle for the screw worm?
Yeah.
I can't help but think, why is it that you remember back in the 80s, they used to do the diving mules and stuff at the state fair and things?
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if they're talking with those guys. If you can get the cows to jump in willingly, I would think that'd be a lot better, you know?
Well, I think it's a surprise to the animal when he when the floor falls out from underneath him.
We can do better than that.
I know you would think, but no, No.
Well, a solution's a solution. Am I right?
I guess it is. I guess it is. So, I mean, there's lots of things that are happening when it comes to trade in the big three, Canada, the U.S., and Mexico.
Wow.
Then throw China into it as well. The additionality of more tariffs. The market is trying to figure all that out, too. Okay. Before we get to Jack, let's get to the markets. What happened?
Sure thing. Well, chip tariff action forced wheat futures solidly lower at the start of the session, with March soft red winter wheat futures spiking support at Friday's low. A surge in the value of the U.S. dollar added to the overnight pressure on wheat prices. Export inspections of wheat weekend of January 30 totaled 253,000 metric tons. That was at the low end of trade expectations. Grain prices turned higher near mid-morning on reports that Mexico has promised to add security at the U.S. border, prompting the Trump administration to delay tariffs on Mexico for 30 days. March HRW wheat futures were 6.5 cents higher at 5.85¾. March SRW up 7¼ cents to 5.66¾. March spring wheat futures closed at 6.16½. That's up a penny, Chip.
Nice recovery in the markets today, and did it with the U.S. dollar. It was backing off the highs of the day, but still, we are looking at the U.S. dollar 600-plus points higher today when the grains were closing. So it was a nice move.
Chip, export inspections of corn the weekend of January 30 totaled just over 1.25 million metric tons. That's a solid loadings pace and was in line with trade expectations. Traders also noted the forecast for central Brazil does suggest more Safrina corn planting delays, but trade and tariff issues clearly dominated trade today. March corn futures gapped lower for a second consecutive session and then recovered. Downside gap after word, the tariffs on Mexico's goods would be delayed. March corn futures 6¾ cents higher at 4.88¾. May corn up 6¾, 4.99¾ for the SAS close. July corn futures closed at 5.03½, up 6¾ cents. Chip?
Yeah, the corn market did a lot to reverse some potentially big-time negative technical signals in there. We'll talk with Angie about that coming up in a bit.
Good, good. Well, March soybean futures also gapped lower and opened on session lows and then rallied to close above resistance at Friday's high to complete an upside reversal. Export inspections of soybeans weekend of January 30 totaled 1.01 million metric tons. That was in line with trade expectations. Early price pressure today was tied to the tariffs on North American trading partners and the additional tariffs on China. The price recovery was the result of delays on tariffs on Mexican goods and harvest delays in Brazilian's northern production areas. March soybeans 16¼ cents higher all told at 10.58¼. May beans up 15¼ to 10.72¾. July beans closed at 10.87. That's up 14¾, Chip.
Soybean oil backed off of the highs, but still the March contract was 40 points higher today. March soybean meal was up $2.60 a ton.
Well, March cotton was 32 points higher today at 66.20. On your livestocks, trade tariffs also had a negative impact on the cattle complex, with traders trying to assess the potential impact on calf imports from Mexico and Canada. Also, USDA says efforts to restart cattle trade with Mexico are underway, and that trade should resume soon. Feeder cattle futures led the way to the downside in the cattle complex as traders now assume calf supplies are set to increase. April fat cattle down $2.15 to $200.15. March feeder futures off $5.22½ to $270.50. And the threat of disrupted export demand for U.S. pork weighed on the market. April lean hog futures $4 lower, $86.35. Chip?
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Jack, how are you today, buddy?
Doing great. How about you?
Doing just fine, just fine. Man, the volatility is back into the markets, and just when you think you're looking in the right direction, here comes something from the other direction that you got to pay attention to right now. It's pretty amazing stuff.
It really is. I mean, I went into the went through the weekend thinking we'd be lower because of this tariff deal, especially with the announcements on Sunday, and we did open a little bit lower, but boy, once the market kind of made that move, here comes the weather from South America, and back up we go, and it, boy, was that an impressive rally.
Yeah. There's no doubt. So what did they take some rain out of the forecast for southern Brazil? Did they put rain in for central Brazil? What happened?
No, I it's been very wet in central and northern Brazil, even though the talk has been drier. But apparently it's finally going to start drying out up there in central and northern Brazil. And the harvest is still 10% done, so they are getting at it. They're only about a week behind. But the southern Brazil and the Argentine forecast did turn drier, and it's been about 100 degrees. And that, you know, it started becoming 100 degrees over the weekend. Looks like first couple of days this week it's going to be very hot as well.
Yeah. Well, it is the start of February. It is really, really difficult to ignore what is happening with the weather down there and in Argentina and southern Brazil in particular. Jack, good stuff, buddy. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, great.
All right. That is Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Okay, like Jack was just saying, wow. We had a nice recovery in the markets today. Started out lower, traded even lower, and then snapped back to close solidly higher. We'll get the bottom line from Angie Setzer, Consus Ag, next.
Grounded from Helena is a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
When you're a grower, a land loan is more than money. It's the power to make your fields come alive, to make your farm prosper, to help your operation thrive. That's why FBN Finance gives you more. With experienced loan advisors, often farmers themselves, and great land loan rates shared daily. Don't just borrow money, borrow more at fbn.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners. NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Day one.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance. Experienced loan advisors putting farmers first with farmland rates as low as 5.71%.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip, glad that you are with us on this Monday afternoon. Angie Setzer, Consus Ag, is our guest analyst today. Angie, it's great to talk to you again. How are you?
I am super. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, what a day, huh?
That's right. What a day, what a week, what a month, what a next 4 years we have in front of us. It's going to be a lot of fun. I've chosen to embrace it this go around, and I'm ready to party.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you. I've talked about that a few times. You can fight it if you want to, but it might be easier to just, you know, just go with the flow on this and see where it takes us. So bottom line it, Angie, bottom line it. What did you learn about the grain markets today?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing that I learned today, or the biggest thing that I am taking away from the conversations today, was that, you know, Mexico's president, Claudia Sheinbaum, is she's a very intelligent woman, and very much I was nervous coming into this, you know, that we would have a bit of an oil and water situation between her and President Trump, just because they kind of come from very different backgrounds and have kind of potentially differing goals, you know, when you look at it, okay, or when you kind of saw some of the initial interactions between the two of them. And so today, to have this conversation like we did, that, you know, she characterized it as a good conversation, that to her, you know, she is being looked at, Mexico is being looked at as an equal in this fight, you know, and some of these things, to me, I thought that was a very positive sign. I would say that, you know, when it comes down to it, and all of the tariff talk, yep, you know, I saw someone put it today that I think it makes great sense, and I think we'd be better, you know, if we kind of embraced this idea. You know, when it comes to world leaders and some of the ways that Trump approaches negotiation, you know, he's just crazy enough that everyone knows that he's just crazy enough that I think they want to do what they can to work with him. I think, you know, everyone kind of recognizes that this is a negotiation. And I think today definitely proved that, as, you know, we saw Mexico do what they could to push the tariff implementation back a month. We're waiting to see what happens here. Apparently, Trump and Trudeau are currently talking as we speak. Yep. And he and Xi are expected to have a phone call here in the next 24 hours. And we'll see if we're able to sort out the situation between China and Canada the way we sorted Mexico today.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one thing about President Trump throughout the weekend and even this morning, he was keeping everybody guessing. Mm-hmm. With the, you know, this is about fentanyl, this is about the border, this is about subsidizing Canada, this is about, you know, he gave us several no U.S. banks in Canada. Yeah, mm-hmm. We even heard that. So he kind of kept us all guessing on what was going on. But I tell you, to see his reaction to the conversation that he had with Sheinbaum, it tells me that it is about the border. It is mm-hmm. about that's the bottom line, right?
Well, I think that's what he promised. I think that's very much the case. I think it is yep. about the border. Yep. I do think that you have to recognize with Trump that there is a level of theater. And that's yep. part of why I spent 0 minutes this weekend on any of the headlines or any of the developments, because it was fluff. It was not going to impact the markets at that given moment. You know, the markets weren't open. That's kind of my recommendation to anyone that's listening to this. If you're able to, you know, if it's not going to impact directly anything that you're dealing with at that moment, you know, you're almost better to ignore and wait for the fourth or fifth report to come through. But yeah, I mean, when it comes down to it, President Trump has made promises. There's been obvious lapses in some of the policies that we've had domestically. If we have the ability to, you know, remove tens, dozens, hundreds, I'm not even sure the count anymore of illegal immigrants that were here, that we knew were here, that we didn't want here because they were potentially dangerous or wanted mm-hmm. in their own home. I mean, those are major issues that needed to be accomplished as well. And so I do think that Sheinbaum recognizes that. I think that's where Canada struggles to a certain extent. You know, there was 46 pounds of fentanyl that came across the Canadian border versus, you know, hundreds of thousands of pounds right. of it across other borders. You know, I think there's some things that potentially with Canada, the negotiation may be a little bit different, maybe potentially a little bit more scattered. But from an overall standpoint, I don't want to take away from, you know, Canada's role as a trade partner. But when it comes to, does it matter as much to the price outlook for corn or soybeans, you know, as a potential problem with Mexico or China even, you know, to me, it definitely takes a bit of a backseat in that regard.
Okay, that's a great assessment of what we saw happen today. But the snapback in the markets, what did that tell you?
Well, it told me, you know, to me, it told me, first off, I think we're not talking enough about the Wall Street Journal article this morning that basically highlighted that the Chinese administration, according to insiders, now grain of salt, right? But according to insiders and think tanks, you know, they are looking to basically produce an opening negotiation. And in that opening negotiation is a return to phase one. And I think a lot of folks have kind of forgotten that phase one exists, yes. that we have this $200 billion worth of you know, China promising to purchase U.S. agricultural, energy, and industrial goods. You know, we already have basically solved the trade war between the U.S. and China to a certain extent. And it was the Biden administration that let that go by the wayside because they had intended to kind of deal with China on trade the way that they had intended to deal with China on trade, which was very passive aggressive, loaded with lots of tariffs and trade restrictions and things like that. Like, you know, we have to recognize that China is probably to a certain extent relieved to have someone, you know, that's kind of negotiating out in the open. And so to me, you know, the snapback today told me not only have we probably maybe overdone it on assuming that Trump was going to come in and just absolutely destroy trade in so many different ways. You know, it kind of told me to a certain extent that a lot of this trade conversation had been priced in. There'd been an argument that it hadn't been, you know, and I had thought that, you know, with the 10.2% stocks to use ratio, with the issues that we're having in South America and things like that, if it weren't for the trade, to me, we would be 525, 530 corn. You know, and okay. So I think today showed us that, you know, Trump is going to do what he can in order to milk everything that he can out of every last negotiation that he has in front of him. And B, you know, when it comes down to it, if China comes back into this market, a lot of folks want to argue about the economics between Brazil and the U.S. You know, China could save a lot of long-term pain by some short-term deal-making. And so from an overall standpoint, today, this just showed me that the support remains underneath the market in grains, you know, corn and wheat from a supply and demand sort of standpoint, and the potential there for beans. We just don't know yet, you know, but it could be very powerful if Trump is able to kind of return us back to this phase one sort of move.
Yeah. You know, we've talked about it on the show before. At some point, we're going to go knocking on Xi's door and say, hi, remember us? Remember this agreement? It's something that we need to get back to. I don't think there's any question that's what we're doing. So, okay, so March corn, gap lower Friday, gap lower this morning, filled both of those gaps on the price recovery today. That seems like a really important move to me, Angie.
I feel like it is. I feel like for everyone that panicked about the fact that we had failed in the mid 490s, I think you have to recognize, you know, not only did we hold 478, 477, 478 three different times before we were able to break out to new highs, you know, in this move here today, we held a pretty important level. You know, a lot of folks had thought once we broke 475, we were going to kind of be in for a big move lower and that, you know, the funds were long and wrong. You know, to me, the other thing I learned today, or I've been learning, I feel like it's something that I kind of embrace, is that, you know, the funds aren't this dumb blob of people making uneducated decisions. Like, they're definitely trading this market for a reason. And they're seeing things, I think, that, you know, potentially, like, maybe we're missing, you know, from an overall standpoint. But yeah, I mean, is a good day today. It was a good positive move today. You know, you can't fight it. You know, obviously there was a potential there from a headline driven sort of standpoint, but to finish 16 cents off our low and to test those really important levels, to me, I think, you know, I thought we were range bound. I think we've got to watch what happens with South American weather and some of these other things. We're going to wait for China to get back on Wednesday. But I think we could be in for a potential move. You know, if we are able to maintain this sort of positive outlook, maybe solve the situation with Canada and look to what China has to do.
Off we go. Off we go. We're in the middle of a conversation with Angie Setzer from Conscious Ag. Let's talk about how attitudes have changed in the last 30 days.
Wake up. Get ready. Grab breakfast. Go to work. Grab lunch. Come home. Run to practice. Run to the store. Grab dinner. Go to bed and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes. For March, HRW wheat futures were 6.5 cents higher at 585.75. March soft red wheat up 7.25 cents to 566.75. March corn futures were 6.75 cents higher at 488.75. July corn futures closed at 503.5, up 6.75 cents. March soybean futures were 16.25 cents higher at 10.58.25. May beans up 15.25 cents to 10.72.75. March cotton 32 points higher on the day at 66.20. On your livestocks, April fat cattle down $2.15 to $200.15. March feeder futures off $5.22.5 to $270.50. And April lean hogs, $4 lower at $86.35. Get more, profarmer.com.
Okay, antibodies, huddle up.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
At Security Financial Bank, we understand what it takes to grow what matters. We know success doesn't happen overnight. It takes honest work, day in and day out. We value trust, leadership, and service. We are SFB, bankers who believe in your business, your family, your future. Bankers who believe in you. Learn more at sfbank.com. Member FDIC.
NTech is constantly evolving to bring you the very best communication services. Our high-speed, high-quality internet, voice, and video services help you make the connections that matter. We may have a new look, but we're still the same local provider you know and love right here in Durand. NTech grows and changes as you do, so we can always meet your needs. Visit ntec.net to learn more. That's ntec.net.
Cloudy throughout the day today in our real country. 1430 forecast, 90% chance of snow. Could see up to 2 inches. Highs upper 20s, northeast winds at 5 to 10. Tonight, decreasing clouds, lows near 5. Tomorrow, cloudy, highs near 16. Be listening for Durand, Arkansas Boys High School Basketball. The Panthers are at Baldwin Woodville tonight. The Advent Health Panther preview is at 7. Tip off at 7:15 on Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN and online at realcountry1430.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. We are in the middle of a conversation with Angie Setzer, Consus Ag. Angie, the rally in corn goes all the way back to last August. The rally in beans back to December. So the rally in corn's been happening for a while. Beans, okay, there's still lots of life or potentially a lot of life in it. But holy smokes, have the attitudes changed in these markets in the past 30 days or since January 10, haven't they?
To a certain extent, yeah. It definitely is a much nicer atmosphere, you know, than it was at the end of last summer. Last summer it was pretty rough. There were a lot of worries, a lot of really, really worried people, you know, and so it's nice to be back to where we can at least start to be trading corn above the cost of production for old crop. You know, I think there's still a lot of concerns. I think there's a lot of, you know, I'm going to say PTSD for lack of a better term, you know, just some trauma from last year that folks are carrying forward with them. There's a ton of worry, you know, that they're going to miss out, that they made, you know, they're going to pull the same thing that they did a year ago. And all of a sudden the market's going to be at 380 and they didn't see it coming. You know, so I think there's a little bit more in the way of mental weight on the farmer. Than what we've seen even, you know, any time before. I feel like one of the things I really push when I have farmer meetings and things is like, you know, marketing is hard. It's obviously going to be the most difficult thing. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater because you had one bad year. But yeah, I mean, it finally, I think it feels good again to kind of feel like you have a little bit of hope and that all, not
and
everything
options.
Is, yeah, and options, opportunities. I kept
there
saying,
you go. Yeah.
We'd see opportunity again. That was one of the things I kept saying, you know, August, September of last year is like, be prepared in 6 months. Because I felt like you could see the export change. I felt like you could see the shift in corn coming. You know, I was one of the lone crazy bulls and at the end of August and the first part of September last year, in the corn market because of what was going on in the global market structure and some of that other stuff. But, you know, from an overall standpoint, yeah, the attitudes are a bit better. I think folks are finally seeing that the light, you know, at the end of the tunnel is not necessarily a train. It doesn't appear. Now, obviously, we have a lot of volatility coming into play, but it feels better to not feel like you're drowning in bad news.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly the change in attitude that I've picked up. What does that do for the market outlook? I don't want to say that, you know, if we shut the bin door and don't move any grain, well, that's going to force us higher and blah, and all that. I don't want to say that, but those options that, or the opportunities that producers have, it can change the outlook for this market going forward some, can't it?
In a big way. I think you're going to see that coming up here pretty soon. I think the easy bushels have been sold. You know, I think when it comes down to it, especially if we're able to make it through this sort of initial phase of trade jitters, you know, and resolve a good portion of these concerns, you know, in a big way here over the next month, you know, I think that, yeah, there are a ton of opportunities that are going to come up. I think basis, you know, and especially in the Eastern Corn Belt, the Western Belt's a bit different. You know, obviously you guys had a crop this year. I feel like it's been 3 years of really, really tight supplies in the Western Belt that, you know, have kind of kept basis really spicy. And so you're not seeing the spicy basis out West that you're seeing. You're getting more in that of that in the Eastern Corn Belt here. But yeah, I keep telling my growers, I'm like, inside me, there are two wolves. One is the conservative risk manager that says you should be selling above your point of profitability. And the other one is the one that's looking at the supply and demand fundamentals and the risk that's at play with the Brazilian crop and the fact that someone has to supply this market, you know, April through September. You know, and the on-farm bushels just aren't going to be there in the way that they have been over the last couple of years. You know, I think that there are going to be opportunities, but we have to be smart. about our cost of carry. We have to be smart about, you know, if you're paying interest on things, or if you're, you know, you just make sure that you're not, you know, welding the bin door shut, because there are a lot of other ways that you could approach this market if you wanted to, you know, and kind of, I don't want to say have your cake and eat it too, but to a certain extent with the way this market has moved, you know, and as relatively low prices, what our options have been when it comes to kind of maybe doing a minimum price style contract or something like that. I mean, there are ways that you can, you know, reduce your risk and still be able to party to a certain extent if we move higher.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent. Okay, we'll talk about some of those things here in just a bit. What is the key to your price outlook going forward now?
What happens with South American production? Where we end up with Argentina, you know, and where we end up with Brazil, you know, to see us this far behind is quite unusual from a Safrinha planting standpoint. You know, and we really won't know until March or April. And then, of course, what happens with China and demand. So there's two massive components, and I would say the China one is by far the biggest. If we do see a return to phase one and China starts to come in and repurchase these agricultural commodities like they were supposed to in the first round, all bets are off, because the economics don't mean as much, and that's going to be hard for people to get. Right. But if we continue to kind of play around with what that looks like or whatever, then obviously the South American crop size is going to have a huge impact, you know, on what we see going forward. Watching, you know, the Black Sea too, and in Europe, you know, we're in a global market, you know, and so our domestic demand structure, I think you will see our feed demand back off a bit, you know, and potentially our exports pick up. But, you know, it's always the wild card with what we're going to see in the global market. The U.S. is the reserve supplier, right? And a lot of times people like to point that out when it's bearish. But we forget that it could be kind of explosive and surprising for us when it's something that the world comes to the U.S. because we're the ones with the supply.
Yep. Okay. Hey, flush out your comment. Economics don't matter as much regarding the China phase one. I think I know what you're talking about there, and I think it's an important point that I want people to understand. Flesh that out a little bit more.
So a lot of folks want to point out, right, that the Brazil U.S. bean spread, I think it's 80 cents to a dollar right now, the difference in value. And it gets wider as you get out into the summer months, of course, because the Brazilian market is sharply inverted currently because of the delays in harvest. But, and so a lot of folks want to point out, like, the Brazilian or the Chinese crusher is not going to buy a bean that's a dollar more. And you're probably right. The private crushers are going to be more focused on economics. But when it comes to government reserves, you know, when these government purchases, to spend an extra 80 cents or a dollar on a bushel of beans, if that means that they have access to world trade markets, that they aren't getting tariffed by the U.S. at 60%, that maybe the U.S. has convinced the rest of the world to play nice as well. Because remember, we're not the only ones trade warring with China. You've got the EU. You've got others out there that have kind of Canada as well. You know, and so when it comes down to it, the long game, you know, may provide much more incentive to make purchases that might be more expensive per bushel, simply because they're following through with their promises and are able to avoid, you know, 60% tariffs on things, you know, with their economy the way it's sitting now, they wouldn't be able to handle it.
Right. Right. Good. Good. Talk to me about if you've got a take on what's happening in the cattle markets, give it to me.
I don't really. I mean, I'll be completely honest. You said that. You said we're going to ask Angie about cattle later. And I said, oh, golly. I mean, to a certain extent, I think the fact of the matter is, you know, the consumer and the consumer demand has been far more, you know, inelastic than what people thought. Like, we still go to the store and we still buy beef. You know, we may make cuts in other parts of our budget in order to be able to still have the beef. I feel like, to a certain extent, you know, I've always said that you don't celebrate life's greatest accomplishments with a chicken breast. You know, and I think, you know, demand stays strong. Obviously, we have a new flow in and out and things that'll impact from every day, you know, but when you talk to Carl, he says, Carl's our cattle guy. You know, he says to make sure that you're smart about your hedging, that you're managing your risk, that this is like $7 corn, you know, and so I'm going to listen to him in that regard.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay, risk management strategies in the grain markets then. What is the conversation with your clients sound like right now, Angie? What are you looking to do?
Scale selling. We're continuing to scale sell. We started, you know, our new crop we had tried to capture last year. Obviously, 480 to 490 was about as good as she got. And so when it came to kind of reassessing where we wanted to be this year, we've been entering target orders. We'd started around 440, 474, 495 were kind of our targets. Just kind of, I kept saying we're going to return to the scene of the crime. Where the market left me holding the bag last year was where we were going to resell this year. And now, for the most part, a lot of folks are sitting pretty comfortable with the sales that they've made for old. We're starting to focus on new. 465 was kind of my starting point. For 25, you know, we're working on HTAs for the most part, futures only for now. You know, with the idea that we're going to incrementally scale sell. I like my growers to keep it simple. You know, when it comes to new crop production, take your overall, what you're expecting to produce using your APH and what you're planning on planting, break it into 10% increments, because I'm simple, I'm blonde, you know what I mean? It's easy math. If you sell 10% of your crop every 30 cent move, you know, if you start at 465, 495, 525, and you can pick whichever futures prices make you happy, you know, but if you do that and you break it up, you're going to sell, you know, between 465 and 765. It's a $3 range on 30 cents, you know, if you do 10% increments. And so I'm not saying it ends up that simple or that clean by any means, but that's where we're starting. I really like to have my growers have that revenue protection gap, I call it. You know, if you're 70, 75, 80% crop insurance, you know, you've got 20% that I like to have sold before the end of February or the first part of March. From an overall standpoint, just turn the bushels into cash as you need to an old crop and build out that marketing plan anew.
Excellent. Angie, thank you so much. Angie Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting.
Scammers.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. Did you know the IRS has programs specifically designed to help people struggling with tax debt? Powerful tax assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution firm, A-rated by the Better Business Bureau. Their award-winning team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. One call to Optima can start the process, helping to end your worries about wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other IRS actions. Make sure you're getting the best options to solve your tax problems. Call the experts at Optima today for a free confidential consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-296-1251. 800-296-1251. That's 800-296-1251.
Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and e-auto pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
And market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Here with us today is Dan English, General Manager, FBN Financial. Dan, as farmers consider where to get their land financing, why should they consider FBN?
Well, at FBN Finance, we're really dedicated to serving family farmers and putting farmers first. We've created an experience to provide farmers with all the essential information that they need during their land financing journey. And so on the front end, they can use our free land evaluation tool, AcreVision. They can look at land insights and metrics, soil types, using that product. Then they can use our land calculator to view their estimated rates and fees. And then when they're ready to get pre-qualified, they can use our digital application and then take advantage of our instant approvals for qualifying applications.
Okay, pre-qualification and instant approvals. Explain that some more and tell me how that benefits farmers.
Well, if you're just starting out your process and you're not sure what you can afford or not sure how a lender is going to look at it, pre-qualification gives you that confidence to go out to an auction or, you know, consider a refinance if it's worth the effort to put in the time and effort to get that. And then a pre-approval or an actual approval is great when you want to move quickly. So let's say you win that auction and you've got a limited time period to close. You don't want to spend the first couple of weeks thinking around, who's going to give me a loan? We'll let you know right away. It takes less than 15 minutes to fill out the application, and we can get you approved for up to $2.5 million.
Really cool. Dan, how can someone get in contact with your team?
You can get started right now by going to fbn.com/agritalk, or you can call us directly at 833-FBN-LEND. That's L-E-N-D. And right now, for AgriTalk listeners, when you fill out a form to speak with a loan advisor or call us directly and mention AgriTalk, you're eligible to save $500 on closing costs for your land loan over $250,000.
Thank you, Dan. Very cool. That is Dan English, General Manager, FBN Financial.
Seed Innovation Protection Alliance Seed Company members invest 15% of sales into new seed innovations for your cereal acres. Check the bag for certified seed or single-use agreement restrictions so you don't step over the line. Or talk to your seed dealer. Plant breeders develop better, stronger genetics for your farm. So let's reinvest together to improve yields and quality. Without your patronage and trust, seed companies wouldn't be able to continually develop new genetics, traits, seed treatments, and other innovations to meet your needs.
Veterans, if you were impacted by a recent hurricane or natural disaster, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is here to help. To find 24/7 info about healthcare, housing, insurance, benefits payments, and more, call 1-800-MY-VA-411 or visit va.gov/resources/disaster-help. That's 1-800-MY-VA-411 or va.gov/resources/disaster-help. For emergencies, always dial 911.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at #AgriTalk.
It is time to get an update on some of the chart outlook for the markets that we're paying close attention to. Kerry Artek, Artek Advisory, joins me right now. Kerry, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. Chip, how are you?
Doing just fine, just fine. Glad you're with us here. Don't forget, you can get the commodity outlook at artacadvisory.com, A-R-T-A-C, advisory.com. And we're also going to take a look at some stock indices today. And to get the stock coverage, go to wickedstocks.com. Check it out there. The YouTube channel, right, Kerry? Wicked Stocks channel?
Yeah, we offer free analysis on YouTube every single day in Tesla and NVIDIA. We also have, you know, all kinds of stuff happening on the page side, wickedstocks.com. But you're right, we have a Wicked Stocks YouTube channel that provides free daily analysis in Tesla and NVIDIA as sort of an inspiration to maybe migrate over to the page side where you can get daily Triple Q, daily SPY, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Yeah, perfect, perfect. Okay, start us off in the commodity world with March wheat.
Yeah, March wheat. Right now, I see kind of a two-sided framework. There's no longer-term directional impulse that I can see, but over the next few weeks, you've got 577 and three-quarter as your ceiling of resistance. We closed today around 566 and three-quarter, and you've got 535 half as a floor of support. Both of those can contain, 577 and three-quarter can contain buying into later February, and 535 half can contain selling into later February. We could trade inside of that range for the next few weeks, but if we close above 577 and three-quarter, that sets off a 3 to 5 week buy signal that I think should yield close to a 50-cent move in March wheat up to about 623 even, where the March contract runs into serious trouble on like an 8-month channel top. So it could top out into its expiration at 623, and I would expect it possibly by the end of February if we close this week above 577 and three-quarter. On the other hand, if we fall away and close below 535 half, just the opposite, a 3 to 5-week sell signal in the order of about 50 cents. 486 even becomes a 3 to 5 week target. If we close below 535 half, that 486 even level is about a 4 or 5 year channel, trend line off the lows on the weekly chart. It goes back, actually, 8 years, 9 years is the 2016 low. So that's a big area. A 486 even, if tested over the next few months, can contain selling into later year.
Okay.
On to April live cattle. On your show, I've mentioned about 5-6 weeks ago, long-term buy signal was set off that remains intact above kind of the low to mid 190s, 193.27 to 194.95. That anticipates the 221, 222 handle as a long-term target into later year. I've also mentioned how on the way up, there's a resistance area that we tested last week. We even pushed through it substantially. It's at 203.60 this week, and last week we got up to 207.72, only to fall back late last week to close the week below 203.60. So it's a no-go on a secondary long-term buy signal. This does allow the lead contract, April, to fall away over the next 2 to 3 weeks, perhaps, with present volatility into the 193.27 to 194.95 area, where a buy opportunity would present into later year. From there, we can round back up to 203.60 within a month or two, and still the low 220s in reach as we continue into later year. On that note, if we can close Friday above the 203.60 1 year channel top, that does indicate 222.35 within about 3 to 5 months. Now, because it's a longer term line study, 203.60, it probably does deserve the 1% violation threshold for what I would consider a technically reliable buy signal, and that is 205.65. So if we can rally back over the next few days into later week and settle Friday at 205.65 or higher, we have a secondary buy signal that's actually considered an eventuality anyway, wherein the 222.35 level 5-year channel top would be expected within about 3 to 5 months, where we could certainly place a 2025 high. If we were over the next few weeks, by the way, to close below 193.27, all bets are off. This thing unwinds all the way back into the lower 180s within about 2 to 3 months. And finally, DIA. This is the Wicked Stocks stock pick. It is nothing more than the most active Dow Jones Industrial Average ETF. It is a single entity, a stock that you can trade. It is correlated with the Dow Jones. The Dow is relatively immune to all this wild, Silicon Valley AI stuff. And in fact, the Dow or the DIA looks bullish as we move into February, March. Continued weekly settlements above 442.28, and that should then yield the 467.32 area over the next 1 to 2 months. We're trading around 445 last. So as long as we close this week above 442.28, 467.32 rises to 473.27 as a 1 year channel top over the next 4 weeks. So this is a move of about 10% to the upside, new all time highs envisioned by the end of March. On the other hand, if we close not only back below 442.28, but also below 440.54, that is last week's low, that tips the market south. About a 5% sell off, I would expect, within probably 2 to 3, 3 to 5 weeks to 420.84. The low 420s, long term support for the Dow, for the DIA. 420.84 is nothing more than really saying 42,084 in the Dow would be expected if we close this week below roughly 44,000. Until then, 44,200 is your base of support, above which 46,730, climbing to 47,330 over the next 3-4 weeks, expected as we continue into later March. And that pretty much rounds it out, Chip.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Good work, Kerry. Thank you so much, buddy.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I'll talk to you soon.
You bet. You bet. Kerry Artek, Artek Advisory, and WickedStocks.com. National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook, February 9th through the 13th. Below normal temperatures expected over the entire Corn Belt. You get into the Ohio River Valley, we're looking at near normal to above normal temperatures in the southeast U.S. Below normal precipitation expected in Wisconsin, Michigan, northern Minnesota. Near normal to above normal precipitation expected in the rest of the Corn Belt. 8 to 14 day, the below normal temperatures are spreading across the U.S. Near normal to above normal precipitation expected across the Corn Belt. All right, we are on the road. Big Apple Joe and I are heading to San Antonio and the National Cattlemen's Beef Association Convention. Looking forward to people down there, look and talking about all the issues. Davis is going to keep the conversation going tomorrow morning. Michael Langemeyer from Purdue, and he's going to have this week's Farmer Forum on tomorrow. So tune in for that tomorrow afternoon while I'm on a plane. Ted Seifert, Zane Raghedge in as the guest host. Have a great day, everybody. I'm Chip, and this is AgriTalk.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen, but you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
I mean, we kind of know what's out here, but all at the same time, you just always call.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Whether you're installing drain tile or doing any sort of digging, always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked and have the depth confirmed. That's farming with care. But if a line does get damaged, go somewhere safe and call 911.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
Millions of Americans take medicine like Ozempic and Zepbound. Many of them are overpaying by thousands of dollars a year. These GLP-1 medications for diabetes, weight loss, and more may not always be covered by your insurance, but GoodRx can help. GoodRx helps you save every month on prescriptions at over 70,000 pharmacies nationwide. Best of all, it's free to use. Check GoodRx to save on GLP-1s. Just go to GoodRx.com/GLP. That's GoodRx.com/GLP. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance, including Medicare and other federal and state-funded programs.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. After Elon Musk placed employees of the U.S. Foreign Aid Agency on paid leave, President